Very good morning to each and every one of you who are joining us in this wonderful time of worship. We thank God that we can gather wherever we are to worship this God who is so awesome, this God who is so powerful, a God who wants to journey along with us. Today, we live in an age it is becoming increasingly difficult and challenging for a Bible Christian to live in this world. There's a constant pressure to compromise our faith. Many a times, Christians have been labeled as hypocrites or extremists because they voice out their conviction, which is contrary to the cultural norms that has been practiced in these days. Like the believers in the early church, God calls us to be bold in our Christian walk, to be bold in our Christian testimony, to live out the gospel with love, with a strong and a firm conviction that salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. I've entitled today's sermon as "We Are Called to Be Bold" from Acts chapter 4, verses 8 to 20. Let's pray and ask God to help us as we spend some time looking at God's word. Father, we thank you for your word, because your word is sharper than the two-edged sword of God. Your word is there to enrich us, to help us, to heal us, to equip us, to strengthen us, to empower us, oh Father. And your word is there to assure us that we are not alone. We have a God who is so faithful. And so Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to be bold witnesses for you. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, very recently I came across an article that was published by USA Today, a true, at the same time, a very inspirational story about a young Ukrainian boy, just 11 years old, who traveled more than 600 miles to go to Slovakia because of the present invasion by the Russian forces. You know, the story goes like this. The mother was unable to join him because she needs to take care of the elderly mother, was unable to walk, totally dependent on the daughter. So she told this boy, "And I'm going to place you on this train. Go to this place called Slovakia." And she wrote the contact number on the hands of the boy and said, "Contact these relatives. They will help you." The boy, just 11 years old, can you imagine taking the long journey, 600 miles, after a difficult and a challenging journey, he finally reached his destination. I believe many would have asked him questions. Many would have stared at him and asked him, "Are you alone? Where are your parents?" But he reached his intended destination. A ministry representative from the particular government forces said this. And let me quote. He said, "This boy, he conquered everyone with his smile, with his fearlessness and determination of a real hero." You know, when we marvel at stories like this, boldness that is seen in the young lad. You know, when I read this particular passage, I realize that God calls us in a time that we are living in to be bold in our Christian walk, in our Christian testimony, to be bold in our faith, because we believe in a God who's true, a God who's so powerful. And that is what the early church had. They had boldness, my friend. The church, the early church did not have the things that we have today. They did not have a strong building. They did not have big budgets. They did not have, you know, the things that we have, the tools that we have, the disciples' tools that we have access to so many things. The early church did not have all these things. On the same note, if you realize, you know, the early church was always on a constant battle. The government authorities were against them. The religious authorities were against them. But when you look at Scripture, they were bold. They were bold for the Lord Jesus Christ. The same note, you realize, you know, many were coming and embracing the Christian faith. Now, when you look at the word boldness, There's a difference between the way the world defines boldness and the way Scripture defines boldness. The world sees boldness or defines it as something which is very pushy, right? Very confrontational. You want your things to be done. And so it can be arrogant or even abusive because it wants to achieve its intended goal. But on the other hand, scriptural boldness or the way Scripture looks at boldness is an act of the Holy Spirit, where we are prompted and guided by the Holy Spirit to speak out the truth of God in love, in humility, and also in gentleness. The passage that we just read today is a very powerful passage. You know, in Acts chapter 3, we realize that Peter and John is going to the temple. As they were approaching the temple, there was a lame man, lame from birth, and he wanted some help. He wanted Peter and John to give him some money. But what happened in that particular chapter, Peter says in verse 6, he says, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth," he said, "walk." In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, he said, "walk." And because of the miracle that happened, my friend, many thousands were embracing the Christian faith. Can you imagine? You know, there was a lot of excitement in the crowd, people just coming to hear the gospel message. And in chapter 4, we tend to read, you know, the religious authorities were not happy. They were angry with what was happening. They were angry because these disciples were preaching the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel. They were angry because they were preaching about the resurrection of the dead, where the Sadducees did not believe about the resurrection of the dead. And so they arrested them. They placed Peter and John in the prison and even told them not to preach the gospel. But Peter and John and also the early church were bold. They did not have the luxury of so many things that we have today. But they were bold in their faith. They were bold in their testimony. There are lessons that we will draw from here. The first word is F. In other words, it says, faith in Christ alone. So these disciples had faith in Christ alone. When they were questioned, what did they say? Where did they get their boldness? Let's read chapter 4, verse 12. It says, Peter told them, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." And so he proclaims, saying that salvation is found only in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, my friend, there is faith in Christ alone. They believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father except through and only through the Lord Jesus Christ. As John puts it very clearly in John chapter 3, verse 17, that God sent his Son into this world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And these disciples believed that salvation is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. That was their firm belief. That was their firm faith, my friend. You know, the religious authorities did not oppose the healing of the lame man, but they were against the gospel message. They were against the teachings of the disciples. Now, many Christians would say, yes, we believe that faith in Christ or salvation is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to believe that, my friend. But when you look at the life of the disciples, you know, their faith was also seen in the way they lived alive. Let's look at verse 13. It says that when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled and they were ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. That's the key word here. They had been with Jesus. In other words, They were spending their time with Jesus. They had a constant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Their walk with Christ have actually transformed their lives, my friend. Yes, they were ordinary people, but they believed in an extraordinary God, and their lives were according to what the Lord Jesus Christ have actually taught them. Transformed life. In other words, in today we use the word, they were walking the talk. In other words, they lived out the gospel, my friend. Their life was a great testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, today many of us believe. Many of us affirm that salvation is through Christ alone. That's wonderful, my friend. That's what God wants us. On the same note, God wants us to walk the talk. In other words, our life should be obvious. Others should be able to see Christ in us. Others would be able to see the difference in our life, the way we look at things, the way we decide things, the decisions that we make, that will be more towards Christ-like. And that was what the disciples were living. So today we need to ask ourselves, yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but does my life show that I live a life for the gospel? Do I think the way Christ is thinking? Do I live a life in this world that becomes obvious for people to say that this guy, this person is a Christian? It's a person who follows the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, they had faith in Christ alone, not only in their belief, but in their walk too. The second word, listen to the Holy Spirit. In other words, they were listening to the Holy Spirit. Let's read verse 18, right? When they were called by the religious authorities to stop preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was their reply? In verse 18, it says, when they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, very interesting, they replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judge. And verse 20, it goes like this. For as for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. We cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. We have witnessed, we have seen, and we have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And nothing is able to stop us. We want to be obedient. We want to be listening to the voice of the Spirit. We want to be living our lives according to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And that was their response, my friend. In other words, they were saying, we want to obey God. No, when I look at the answer, that is what we are called for. That's our Christian life, a life of obedience. They were depending not because on your education. They were not depending on their training, but they were depending on the Spirit of God to lead them. Yes, my friend, today we need to ask ourselves, you know, am I listening to the prompting, to the leading of the Holy Spirit? The verse says very clearly in verse 8 that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and he started speaking. Spiritual boldness comes only through the presence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, my friend. The Spirit of God enables us to live a life for Him, to testify for Him. You know, when I look at the passage very carefully, you know, I'm very fascinated because, you know, how did they bring the gospel? You know, when you look at the word, it might sound as if they were arrogant, but they were not arrogant. Look at the word very carefully. You know, they had a very right attitude. They could have immediately said, you know, we have all the right to speak about Jesus Christ. We are citizens of this land. No one is able to stop us. But the way they express is totally different. They were saying, you know, we want to obey God. In other words, if you want to put us to prison, in prison, we are willing to go or to take that particular route also. The same Peter writes in 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Later, he writes saying that we are to present the gospel with gentleness and respect. Yes, they answered in such a way, we want to listen to God, but in a very gentle spirit, my friend. They were not confrontational. They were not, you know, fighting an argument. But there was love. There was gentleness. There was humility when they responded to the command of the religious leaders. The same way when you read Paul's writing to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23, Paul says that we need to be gentle in the way we present the gospel, not to argue, not to be quarrelsome, but to be present with the gospel with gentleness, with all humility, my friend. And so today we need to ask this question. Are we concerned about what God is thinking, or are we concerned about what people are thinking of us, my friend? Are we obedient to the Spirit's guidance, or do we want to live a life just compromising to what is happening in the world today? The disciples were bold. They were bold to listen to the voice of God, but they did it with a lot of love, with a lot of fear for the Lord, with humility, with respect for the authorities also. They were willing to go to the prison to face persecution for the Lord Jesus Christ. They were fit. They were ready. They were bold. And I think God calls us to listen to Him. What is the Spirit of God telling you today? Maybe the Lord is wanting you to share His message or share your story to your friend or to your colleague. But means there's something that's just stopping you, maybe some kind of fear in you. But when the Lord prompts you, my friend, listen to Him and He will lead the way. Thirdly, let me finish with these words. Trust God's power. Yes, we are called to trust God's power, my friend. In verse 23, how did they respond? On their release, it says, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders have said to them. They reported. So when I read this, I see a lot of excitement. There was a lot of joy in them. They were saying what God has done when they were living a life for Him. And in verse 24, they said, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. You know, the immediate response of the disciples and the church was to go to God in prayer. They could have said, oh, praise the Lord, you know, and be so arrogant or be proud. But they said, let's pray. Let's pray. In other words, it teaches us another important lesson. Trust in God's power. Trust God's power. We need prayer. We need to have prayer in our life. Prayer is so powerful, my friend. So when we come to God in prayer, not only we are actually having a conversation with God, but God is strengthening us. And let's look at the way they prayed. Look at the prayer. In verse 24, it says, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And this is how they started. They said, Sovereign Lord. In other words, they said, God, you're in control of everything. And you are in control, Lord. You're sovereign. You're powerful. Nothing can go against you. Even in the midst of your persecution and difficulty, my friend, they saw that God is so sovereign. God is in control of everything that happens in their life. And secondly, when you look at the word very carefully, you know, in verse 29, it says, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Look at their prayer. Very interesting prayer. You know, I just marvel in the way the early disciples prayed. You know, they said, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your truth with great boldness. They were not saying, Lord, take away the threats, take away the persecution away from us. But they were saying, Lord, enable us, O God, empower us again. We want to continue to speak with boldness. Give us that boldness, O God. Yes, boldness comes when we lean on to God. Boldness comes when we spend time with the Lord in prayer, my friend, and they were asking God for boldness. For boldness to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, many a times, you know, there's always a lot of temptation to back off, right? When we see persecution that is coming against us. But they were praying for boldness. And that was a prayer of the Apostle Paul too, when he writes to the church in Ephesus, chapter 6, verse 19. He says that he's asking the believers by saying that God will open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You know, Paul was one of the greatest apostles, but he is saying that God will allow him, enable him to open his mouth boldly to spread the mystery of the gospel, my friend. Let's look at their prayer also. Not only they acknowledge God's sovereign power, they were asking God for boldness. Thirdly, we also see how they prayed that more lives will be touched. In verse 30, they said, Lord, stretch out your hand to heal and to perform signs. In other words, they were saying, Lord, continue to do your work, O God. Continue to heal. Continue to transform lives, O God. Let others see the things that you are able to see. Let others see that you are the only one who's able to do all these things. Yes, the same word also says, right, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God boldly in verse 31. They continued to speak the word of God boldly. Dear friends, you know, one of the things that I realize, or some of the things that stops us from becoming bold, or enemies of boldness, is our unbelief. Do we truly believe? Can we say with all confidence that Jesus is my Savior, that I believe that He is the way, the truth, and life, that no one comes to the Father except through the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we have that belief? So unbelief can become an enemy to boldness. Sometimes busyness can become an enemy to boldness. We become too occupied in our lives, things that we forget to see the needs around us, my friend. Or thirdly, we think that we have the lack of skill to share the good news of the gospel. When the Lord sends us, when the Lord enables us, when the Lord speaks to us, we are called to share the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, my friend, I believe you will encounter situations in your life where someone will come and ask you, are you a Christian? What would be your answer be? A colleague might say, you know, I see that your life is a bit different. Are you like, you know, the Bible-believing Christian in a very sarcastic manner? What would be your response be? Or you are attending a lecture and the lecturer comes and say, a person who's rational or critical in their thinking will reject the idea that there is a God who created the entire universe. If you hear such a lecture, what would you do? Would you stand up and say, I believe in God. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or will you just sit back and say nothing? Or would you deny your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? What would be our Christian response be? Let me conclude by sharing a true story that happened in the life of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a great man of God who gave his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the year 1939, when most German pastors were intimidated, right, and to just give the support to Hitler. So during that particular time, it was a very tense moment. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he openly expressed his opposition to the policies of Hitler. There was one time when his radio message was broadcast And in between, they stopped his message. And Bonhoeffer immediately knew there's something wrong, something dangerous, or something that he is in a danger. So immediately, he fled to America. He fled to America, and he spent some time in America just preaching in various pulpits, my friend. But after some time, Dietrich Bonhoeffer became convicted. He felt that he had abandoned his people at a crucial hour. He need to be in his country, and he has left them during a crucial hour. And interestingly, it says that he went back to Germany. He went back and he boldly preached the truth. And because he boldly preached the truth, he was imprisoned in April 1943. And he wrote a couple of articles, my friend. And later on, after a couple of years, Hitler ordered that Dietrich Bonhoeffer be hanged. And very interestingly, he made a very profound statement, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, before he faced death. He said, "When God calls a man, he bids him come and die. When God calls the man, he bids him come and die. When God called each and every one of us, he called us to be bold, to be firm, to be fit, my friend, to have faith in Christ alone, to listen to the voice and to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and to trust in his power alone until he calls us home." Today, boldness without Christ is prideful, but boldness to Christ is faithful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, O God. We thank you for the early church. We thank you, Lord, for their confidence in you, for their love towards you, O God, and their willingness to give their lives for you. Like the early believers, O God, help us to be fit, to be faithful, to be firm in our conviction that salvation is only through Christ, and let it be shown through our lives, O God. And help us to always listen to your voice, to your leading, and to trust in your power, which comes, Lord, when we come to you in prayer and in trust upon you. Help us, Lord, to be bold, because we are called to be bold. Thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.